Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 55 and reading verses 1 to 13. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Indeed, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Our reading of God's word. Dear people of God, God's word in Romans 1:20 teaches that God's invisible nature, namely his eternal power and deity, has been clearly perceived in the things that have been made. In other words, a creation. So it is God's method of communicating to his people to use the creation all around us. That if the creation can present to us in clear ways that no one can miss, whatever language they may speak, these glorious truths about the nature of God, then surely we should see that creation is a fertile field for which God utilizes to present to us spiritual truths. And the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, made that very obvious by the fact that he used so many miracles that were rooted in our common life. In our surroundings, so that it would be very easy for us to get and understand the analogy that the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to impress in terms of spiritual truths. And so it is not surprising then for us to see that in terms of the sacraments, it uses the same methodology. whether it's baptism we're speaking about or whether it's the Lord's Supper as we have before us this morning, that we are very open to identifying with what God uses in the sacraments to convey to us vital truths. And Isaiah is all about that in the passage that we read. Using the very things that we engage in every day, such as food and drink, and impressing upon us the importance of the spiritual aspects that it refers to. Our spiritual food, our spiritual nourishment, our spiritual drink, that we might have all that we need to continue our life before Him. And so if you have time this afternoon, it would be well spent just reading Article 35 of the Belgic Confession that deals very wonderfully and clearly with the whole aspect of the Lord's Supper and what it means and how it is that we're to view it and understand it. And also, of course, to utilize it so that we indeed are nourished. We don't just watch something and intellectually understand what goes on, but that we benefit from it, because the Lord's Supper is that. It is a supper. We are to benefit. We are to go forth in strength. The Belgic Confession makes this point, first of all, that the Lord's Supper is given to nourish those that are already regenerated. The Lord's Supper is given to nourish those that are already regenerated. I mean, in the physical realm, I guess we could exemplify that by saying, we don't give dead bodies food, do we? I mean, there's no point. We don't think, well, the person is dead, let's give them more food and somehow they'll come back to life. There is no life there. And as much food as you put into their bodies is not going to make any difference whatsoever. There has to be life. And the Belgic Confession is stressing that, is saying the Lord's Supper is not some magical supper. It doesn't impart something that isn't already there in us. In other words, if we don't have faith, then the Lord's Supper will benefit us nothing. There's nothing in us for the Lord's Supper to strengthen, because there is no life. And so it's a waste of time for unbelievers to engage and participate in the Lord's Supper. It's not going to help them. It's as foolish and worthless, as I've indicated, for us to feed and force feed, obviously, that's the only way you're going to do it, a dead body with food. It's pointless, absolutely pointless. And so this whole notion of people receiving somehow that as we take these things that somehow they will save us is ridiculous. You can take the Lord's Supper every day if you want. It's not going to bring spiritual life. It's not going to bring faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, our catechism states that very openly. Sacraments do not produce faith. Sacraments cannot produce faith. What they do is confirm faith. What they do is strengthen faith. They nurture faith, but they don't bring it about. Oh, if only it could. If only it could. But it's a work that is so powerful that it can only be brought about by the working of God's Holy Spirit and through the preaching of the Word. No sacrament, no food, is ever going to do it. But nevertheless, for those that do believe, it is important. It is essential. Just as it is for us in our physical life to eat. We eat every day. We eat numerous times a day. Because we understand how important it is. And so it's not that somebody forgets. I mean, I guess sometimes we're so hard at work and we forget. But soon the body kind of comes knocking on the door, doesn't it? It's strength and you can't do the work and then you start feeling tired and, oh yeah, I forgot to eat. But generally we don't even let it get that far. Right? We know that we need to eat. And so we seek not only to eat, but we seek to eat nourishing meals. We seek to eat healthy. We seek to motivate what we eat so that we can have our life that we have can be lived in full. Nothing to hinder us and slow us down or damage the body. So it should be easy for us to move then from our physical life and the things that we do to support our life. We ought to say, well, why don't I think about that in my spiritual life? Isn't my spiritual life a lot more important? So therefore, that life ought to be nourished as well. And so the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about that. We have physical life, but we have spiritual life. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ puts it in, again, in very down-to-earth ways. You have to be born again. Nicodemus. And he's totally confused. He can't seem to make the connection. He can't seem to follow the thread. That in your physical life, you were born and you had life. You didn't choose it. You didn't say, I want to be born. It was conferred upon you by God. Well, in the same way, there's spiritual life. Because as I said, the sacraments are only designed for those that have spiritual life. So you may say, well, where is that coming from? Well, it comes from God himself. And so Jesus put it in that very stark way. You have to be born again. And Nicodemus is totally confused because he's only thinking of the physical life and he's thinking, well, I've been born once. How can I go a second time and go through that process? Of course, Jesus wasn't speaking about physical life, spiritual life. You have to be born from above. You have to be born by the Spirit. So it's not that we want to push unbelievers away and say, no, we're an elite group and you don't belong in here, so you can't eat with us. That's not the point. The point is, we do want you to participate. We do want you to come. But you can't come the way that you are. You have to come by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church isn't some elitist group. Now, whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is welcome around the Lord's table. There has to be spiritual life. Without that, we are dead. That's the way the scriptures speak about us. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. And without that life being granted to us by the Lord Jesus Christ through the working of his Holy Spirit and through the hearing of the gospel, then we are alienated from God. And we have no use for spiritual food that is there to nourish our faith because we have no faith to be nourished. But when we do have spiritual faith, when we do have spiritual life, then there is a responsibility on us to maintain that, to do something about that, to use the means that God has given us, just as we use the means that God has given us in terms of our physical life. So we take care of ourselves. We make sure that we exercise. We make sure that we do all kinds of things. We send our children to school so they develop in terms of their minds as well as their bodies. And as parents, we're concerned about every aspect of that. And we see that in a very visual way. We see our children grow, and soon, you know, instead of carrying them around and looking down at them, we begin looking up at them, and they're bigger than we are. And at times more academically equipped than we are. When I teach, and some oldest people come, you know, into the class, and they take classes, and they say, yeah, my fourth, fifth grade child was telling me and helping me with my homework. I mean, talk about reversal of roles. But it happens. It happens. But all that because of effort that we make. And even as parents, even if we're not, I mean, my dad was not educated, never went to school. Grew up in a village, went into the army. But he knew the importance of developing our minds. And talk about helicopter parents. I mean, he was there at our school. I think he knew every teacher and the headmaster of our school to make sure that we were doing what we should have been doing. And even though he couldn't read, nevertheless, he wanted his children to read and do well. So this idea of in our physical life to do well, and all parents want that of their children, and children get that bug sometimes, eventually. And then they start themselves working hard rather than being pushed, because they understand that too. All I'm saying is that we should be able to make that shift to the spiritual. And Christian parents ought and generally are concerned about the spiritual development of their children. Sometimes we need to express that a little more clearly, because sometimes it comes across that we're more interested in their academics and they get a good job than we are spiritual. I know it's not true. In our heart of hearts, we know that the one is more important than the other. Sometimes we need to express that to our children and put in their mind the importance of it, instead of being badgered that we do it ourselves. And we teach our children physically too, right? We instruct them in terms of what they eat, and we say, don't eat that, that's not good for you, or eat this, or eat that, and we have struggles along the way. But at least we make the effort. We do know that it's important that they exercise, that they eat good foods. But so then, in the spiritual realm, we have to point that out too. That they need to make use of the means of grace. They need to read the scriptures. They need to think about sin. They need to think about the Savior. They need to think about life eternal and God's justice, so they can come to terms with what the scriptures want them to know, that we are born corrupt, we're born sinful, we're born alienated from God. And even though God blesses us as children of believing parents in terms of bringing us into the covenant, nevertheless, we do have to believe in Him. We do have to know Him. And so when we worship, and then when we are taught, whether it's at home or whether it's in church, either through the preaching or Sunday school lessons, these are important things. They have an impact upon our lives. And so holy exercises are important for all of us, not just for young people and children. They're important for each and every one of us, as adults too. And so we need to take seriously all that God has provided for us. And one of those areas, of course, are the sacraments, and is the Lord's Supper that we have this morning. And so it's important that we understand how it is that we're to approach the Lord's Supper. What exactly is happening? And arguments have gone on in the church for for donkeys of years at certain aspects of the Lord's Supper and so that those say, well, you know, the bread is the body, the wine is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And others come along and say, well, wait a minute, that's not true. The body, that isn't the body of the Lord Jesus. It represents the body. It represents the blood. And there are all kinds of questions of, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ was present in the Lord's Supper, but how? How? Of course, the attitude was the bread does turn into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, talk about just keeping our senses in terms of analogies. God is using the physical realm to make points about the spiritual realm. But now we confuse the two. Now we think the bread is the body. And so no one should touch it, because it's holy, of course. We don't want it crumbling. And so we make wafers out of them. And then you can't be trusted to handle it. So you open your mouth and we'll put it right in there. And of course, don't even ask for the wine. I mean, how easy is that to spill? So you don't even get the wine. It's not just in the Catholic realm. In the Protestants too. Do we actually receive nourishment in the sacrament? Or is it simply a memorial, just a remembering? And arguments went back and forth about that too. But again, just muddying a very simple analogy that God brings to us in very visual and earthly ways to impress upon us what Christ has done for us and how our salvation is wholly dependent upon the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, his atoning sacrifice on the cross. So, the elements do speak to us. The elements do convey a message to us that is conveyed in other ways too. When we preach the gospel, we are conveying those truths. So then you may say, well, why do we have to have it in the sacramental form? Because that's the way we are. In terms of the fact that we don't always think logically, we don't always think straight. We get emotional about things, and we get overwhelmed by situations in our life, and then you know, all sense of logic goes out of our heads. Visually, truths can be conveyed to us. It's like trying to speak to someone that's distressed and you're trying to have a logical discussion with them. And they're not in a state to think logically. Perhaps an arm around their shoulders would convey a lot more. And that's what God does. We're not always in a logical mode. We're not always in a very orderly in terms of putting things in order and thinking about them. I mean, just imagine the disciples on that last evening and all the things that were going to happen. You think the Lord Jesus Christ gave them a Bible study in the Old Testament and said, look, I want you to get all of this thing straight because, you know, very difficult things are going to happen this night. What does he do? He took bread and instituted the Lord's Supper so they could understand. And they did afterwards, of course, understand what was about to take place and to take comfort in that. So the Lord's Supper draws all of our attention to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and how vital it is for our Christian faith. And so we ought to be careful not to become too engrossed in the details and start looking at every detail and spiritualizing it, as sometimes people do in parables. But rather we need to understand that what the sacrament is conveying to us are spiritual truths. And it's those spiritual truths that, so the way that you appropriate or make use of those truths is for us to embrace them by faith. The Belgian Confession makes this analogy, that faith is, in the physical realm, our mouth. Faith is the mouth. So as you eat food with the mouth, so you eat this spiritual food by faith. Now you may say, well, what do you mean? How do we eat by faith? Eating by faith means that we take those truths that are being conveyed and we put our trust in them. We rest in them. To understand that the Lord Jesus Christ took all of our sins and nailed them to the tree should impart to each and every one of us a sense of freedom. That now all my sins have been washed away. All my sins have been paid for. When we're told that who will bring an accusation against God's elect, as Romans speaks about, that ought to lift from our hearts and minds any sense of intimidation by the devil, or other people for that matter, trying to undercut our salvation because we're not perfect yet. To hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, "It is finished." Or to bring assurance to our hearts and to our minds. So the Lord's Supper brings for us all of these statements. That we've been given the right to be called the children of God. That the Holy Spirit teaches us to cry out to God as Abba Father. All the things that the Scriptures speak of in terms of the benefits of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to come flooding into our hearts. And as with Abraham, all of these promises were to do what? They were to be an anchor for the soul. So when each of us comes into the service, all the struggles of life that we are experiencing or have experienced. And the Lord's Supper is one means by which we are directed to the glorious things that God has provided for us and by faith for us to embrace them with all of our hearts. There's nothing mystical about the bread. There's nothing mystical about the wine. And the way that we take and the things that we do, it's got nothing to do with that. It's simply thinking and embracing with all of our heart what God has given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. That's what it is. God speaking to us as His children. God reminding us of everything that He has done. He who did not spare His only begotten Son, but gave Him up for us all. How will He not with Him give us all things? Why are you cast down, O my soul? In the face of the Lord's Supper, how in the world can we be cast down? God has done for us what we could never have imagined in a million years. And that work is rock solid, and it is yours. And so we reach out in faith. And the Lord's Supper simply helps us to visualize what it is. And so the Reformers were right in saying, it's not simply a remembrance. It is that. There has to be that. but it's remembrance and an embracing of those truths, so that we are truly nourished by the Lord's Supper. And it is by faith. And by the way, this is not the only time and the only place that you can benefit. This is a corporate way of doing it. But you can be at home and read the scriptures and reflect on all of the wonderful things that God has done for us and benefit just as much. So the question is, how often do we nourish ourselves on what God has provided? I mean, if the only time we ate is when we have our fellowship luncheon, we wouldn't look so well, would we? I mean, first of all, everyone would turn up on fellowship luncheons if that was the only meal we had, right? We eat other times too. So I'm saying, though we celebrate the Lord's Supper roughly about every couple of months, it doesn't mean that you are not to nourish yourselves on God's wonderful promises every day. Every day. It's not any less because we're not in a church and we don't have the physical emblems of what Christ has done. No, it's just as powerful, just as great. Maybe that is the secret to having a Christian life that is steadfast, immovable. That we are in the habit of reminding ourselves. I mean, if the psalmist has to do it and speak that way to his heart and spirit, why art thou downcast, O my soul? Think. Hope in God. Look at all the things that He's done. Now that's something that we need to get into the habit of doing. Doesn't make this redundant. As I said, just like it doesn't make our fellowship luncheon redundant simply because we eat at home. No, it is an access that God has given to you. And that's what Isaiah is saying. Come to me. I'll feed you. But you don't seem to have an appetite. You seem to run to the world to make yourself strong and secure. And you chase after those things. But they never satisfy. And they cannot ever satisfy in terms of your spiritual life. And they can't do it in the physical realm either, as Jesus said. We store all of these things up, and in a moment they can be gone. No, our trust needs to be in God Himself. And so we need regularly, to recount in our mind all that Christ has done. So that we can truly say, not that we have to go around, you know, everyone saying it, but that we can truly know that we are blessed. And all is well with us. Now, people of God, this is to encourage you. And if you understand what we're doing here, then understand that you can do it any time, any moment, any day. And believe you me, there are many occasions that we need to do that. Because Satan comes in all of his power. But here we do it as a family. Here we are encouraged by the fact that it's not just only me, it's many others around. This is God's church, it's God's family, and I belong to God's family. The Lord's Supper is not something that groups need to do by themselves. I mean, it is true that you can individually do it in terms of feed on those things. But in the setting of the Lord's Supper, it's the sacrament of the church. So not only are we encouraged, but be encouraged by others that engage in nourishing on the wonderful work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, just by doing it will not help. Judas participated. It benefited him nothing. Why? Because he had no spiritual mouth to eat. He had no faith to be nourished. So we do pray for those that come into our midst that they would never get a sense that we don't want them to participate with us. We do want them. We want them to participate in such a way that they will be benefited. And so we pray that they may come to faith and that we might rejoice to have them with us. And of course, we say that about us ourselves too, as I said right at the beginning. Believers need to discern the body. If we don't respect the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't respect our salvation, then to engage in the Lord's Supper is something that is obnoxious to God. And he doesn't let it pass, as the Corinthians found out. No, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is far too valuable and holy for us to engage in remembering and nourishing ourselves in it without thinking, without humility and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, people of God, we have before us this morning a very visual reminder of how much we need the Lord Jesus Christ and how often we need that. And this morning we'll do it collectively. I pray that you will do it daily. Be strong and nourished and faithful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of the gratitude of your hearts for what he has done for us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so indebted to your grace. And we are so thankful that you surround us with your loving arms. And just as our parents provide everything that we need without cost, without keeping counts of all that they have done for us, and always being ready to provide all that we need for life. We're thankful that you do that for us, physically and spiritually. And our Father in heaven, just as at times we take our parents for granted, we fear that we take you for granted, and we repent of that. We ask your forgiveness. We just thank you from the bottom of our hearts for not holding your Son back, not denying us a Savior, but giving him to us as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that we continue to benefit, continue to be nourished and strengthened by that solid foundation that he has built for us. And Lord, we pray that we might always be reminded of that as we read your word. Our Father, then we pray that you would bless us this morning as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. May we do so by faith, and may our souls indeed be nourished. Our Father, then we ask that you would hear our thanks and that you would bless us. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 468.